What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this ninth day of July 2024. And tonight, he is energetic and he's very accurate, our producer. But you know, Styles, that's his stage name, his radio name. He don't like his real name, and I don't know why, because Wilbur Rupert.
That is the truth. that's the one. How'd you find that out?
All right, there you go.
We have spies everywhere.
All right. There you go. And you know who that is, don't you? That's the parson, Joe Larson, from way out yonder. Hey, we got to do some praying today. I heard from our buddy.
Yes, we do, sir.
I heard from our buddy, John, and he's having a real rough time out there. He lives in Houston, and he's been without power going on 3 days, and it's about 100 degrees, no air conditioning. And tomorrow he is supposed to have a generator delivered so he can get air conditioning back in his house.
He didn't learn from what both of us have known and mentioned for a long time. Have a generator, have emergency supplies.
Yeah, I got ours in, 30 years ago, because it was, when that, right after the first tornado to come through, it hit my office and knocked the power out. We were without power for a week. And I believe it was August. We were out without power for a week.
Our first ranch was way out in the middle of nowhere. We were at the end. We were the last place in the power line. So no matter what went wrong, we lost power.
Well.
And we were used to it. It was a normal chain of events. So we learned to live with generators, 30, 40 years ago.
Well, we need to open this program in prayer, because so many people need prayer. All those folks out there in Houston, that area, everywhere where, they're in your neck of the woods, we're expecting to get some massive rain here where I'm at.
We just had it. We have a lot of people who are landlocked today, couldn't get out of their home. Adams ranches won't be able to get out for a day or two, and then only if we can get some tractors and equipment and repair some of the low water crossings. They've been washed out where they're 2-3 foot holes. You can't drive a truck through a 3 foot deep hole.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't work that way, folks. So, yeah, a lot of people need prayer.
Well, our whole nation, the whole world needs prayer. So let us start out with that. And let's pray. Folks out there, let me tell you, right now, I just wanted to say this, and America is more divided than she's been since the Civil War. And America is closer to World War III than we've ever been right now, too, today. But God answers prayer. And tonight, as I opened up into prayer at the Tea Party, today in America, the saints are very weary. So we have a weary saints in a weary land. But let's pray for America. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for you to forgive us, Lord. America has forsaken you with a lack of obedience and courage, with the exception of just a few pastors. The Black Robe Regiment type here in America today, the pastors have failed you. They failed our country. They failed their churches with lack of courage. Our leaders and our judicial and our have failed us with a lack of honesty, with a lack of integrity, Lord. And so, Father God, again, our people today, and our people have failed you because, again, as the pastors were preaching to the people what they wanted to hear instead of what they needed to hear. And the people knew it, and the people would have it that way. And that's just a fact. They know it. And so America now is standing in the shadow of a righteous, a holy, and an angry God. And here today we see how the Republican Party now is going another again and softening yet again its stance on America's national sin, the killing of our children. The killing of our children. This nation has murdered. Lord God, they murdered. How many? 60 million people, little babies, your very image. So, Father God, I would pray, Lord, this, that for repentance, Lord God, I would pray this, that you would maybe put the fear, such a fear of you, such a fear of you in the people in America today, that they would get on their knees and that they would repent. We know, Father God, that repentance is the only remedy for sin. We know without repentance there's no forgiveness. And so, Father God, again, that's my prayer. My prayer is whatever it takes to bring the people to their knees to repent. And, Lord, that we might once again have revival. Once again, Lord, have revival in America. Lord, I want to pray for all of those folks, John McTernan and all those folks that have been affected by this hurricanes that's coming in. Father God, I pray especially for the children in America today. So many missing children have been trafficked because of the ungodly, the evil, the pure evil of the Democratic Communist Party. How America today, how the federal government, Lord, that has been weaponized against the people. They're the largest purveyor of child sex trafficking in the world, our federal government. Why? Because the communist Chinese told Joe Biden, that's what you're going to do. You're going to make sure the floodgates are open and that there's a good source of drugs coming in to kill the people, and that there's a steady source of young children to meet the needs of the Democratic Communist Pedophile Party, where pedophilia is so rampant within the Democratic Communist Party. So, Father God, I pray again, whatever it takes to bring the people. Lord, if they, those that refuse to repent, Lord, my prayer, Father God, is you remove them. You remove the wicked. Remove them so they cannot continue to harm the children. Lord, I pray that you embolden the people. We know the righteous are as bold as lions. And Lord, we see some good signs of some awakening. Lord, let that increase. Raise up your people. Raise up your people, Father. Lord God, people listening to me out there tonight, that they would become doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving their own selves, but they would stand up and push back against this ungodliness, Lord. These things we ask, Father God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Lord, we ask too also, Father, because we know that they're right now, they're cooking up their election fraud, their election scheming right now, how to again throw the election, steal another election, and if they can't do that, then to invoke martial law. But Lord, again, I pray, Father God, Lord, that you come against the forces of darkness, the forces of evil, this deep state. These things, again, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to add something to that. When you're talking about the nation needs to repent and turn to the Lord, because you can't have forgiveness without repentance. And if there's no repentance, then God can only bring what? Judgment.
Yep.
And right now this nation is under, I think, God's judgment, and our only path out of it is for the nation to repent and start turning back to the values, principles, and ideas that we were founded on, which was the Holy Bible, the teaching of the New Testament, and the scriptures, the foundation of our government that we talked about that was found in the Bible.
Yep. All righty. The title of the message, you remember?
Sure do. The message, you can lead a horse to water and soul to wisdom and a soul to wisdom.
But you can't make the horse drink. You can.
Nope.
There's ways of making him thirsty, okay? And you can't make a soul or make a person want to learn.
Right. You can show them where the wisdom is. You can tell them how to get wisdom and everything, but you can't make them wise. They have to do it for themselves.
Right. The simple-minded. Scripture refers to them as the simple-minded. All right. Now, I'm going to do a little commentary, Joseph. Just let me talk, okay?
Fire.
Yeah. All righty. Now, I'm often taken back regarding the, you know, unsolicited and incompetent advice that I receive from well-meaning people, but not so biblically literate individuals. And there's a lot of this. In fact, I got some letters that are so stupid, I can't read them over the air. For example, I just got one here from a guy who claims that everybody, this guy's got to be a Democrat, that everybody will be saved, that there will be no lost people, right?
Right.
And this is what he claims is the gospel from the Bible.
Right. This is what the left kind of tries to teach and insinuate.
Yeah. You know, well, Jesus clearly states that, you know, hell's going to be filled with unbelievers, right? And but they'll become believers as soon as they get there. But the thing of it is Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. He makes it pretty clear. There's no stuttering there. And he has said that hell is open or mouth wide. Now, I have a letter here, for example, on soteriology. And for the folks out there that don't know what soteriology is, the doctrine of salvation. And this lady is a very well-meaning lady. She's very polite, and I do believe she's very well-meaning. And she starts by, to the Honorable Pastor Ernie Sanders, greetings and warm salutations to you and your wonderful fellowship of believers. Well, you know, I appreciate that very much. I have not had the pleasure of meeting you in person. However, I stumbled upon your radio broadcast one day a few years ago while listening to 1500 WLQV QV AM late in the evening. That was in the Detroit, Michigan area, and loved what I heard. Now, you had Dr. and that, I believe she's talking about Peter Gordon, on natural health doctor, on at the time. By the way, I've been getting letters wanting to know when Dr. Glidden's going to be back on, and he should be back on Thursday night. Anyhow, so I was delighted to hear that you had not bought into the COVID lie and continue to this day to listen to you. It's been about 2.5 years, close to 3 years of listening, and it's my intent to send you money to your ministry. At the time, I can afford to send at least $50, and we appreciate that very much. I'm writing you today for what I consider to be an urgent concern. I've heard you preach or speak about a biblical Christian doctrine that I believe to be unsound and actually false, with not one holy Bible scripture to stand on if the Bible is rightly divided, as it should be. So I do not believe that the Holy Bible contradicts itself at all. Well, I would agree with her there. The Bible does not contradict itself at all. I believe you to be a scholar and a great man of God. I thank you. Those are great comments and compliments, and I thank you. But dear man of God, I deem you incorrect on the doctrine known as the once saved, always saved. She says, Dr. Charles Stanley, the renowned Baptist minister, also preached this doctrine. Well, I got news for you, Debbie. The vast majority, I would say 80% of actual Bible scholars today, real Bible scholars, I'm not talking about the apostate church, preach this doctrine right from the Bible. She said, also preached this doctrine in his entire ministry. I could not listen to him because I consider him to be in full and complete error. Who am I? No one you could say with any notoriety. Only the Lord knows who I am in actuality. But I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now here's where, Debbie, if you're listening out there, you become in great error, okay? I am saved and filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Okay, so let me explain something to you. The evidence of speaking in tongues. Tongues are not for today. The tongues were a sign gift. The Jews required a sign. And when we have that which is perfect has come, the Bible says, then that which is in part would be done away with, okay? And so what was he talking about? Well, you have that which is perfect is the completed 66 books of the canon. The sign gifts, again, like I said, were given as a sign for unbelieving Jews. Now, the Apostle Paul said that when he was a child, he thought as a child, but when he became an adult, he put away the childish things. And so here, again, now I'm not saying that tongues doesn't exist for today, but not corporately like it was in those days for a sign. But here, in fact, here's what she says. But I am saved with the Holy Ghost and with evidence of speaking in tongues, a longtime Bible student, age 70, well, I'm not going to give her age, and have been baptized 4 times. Now, she says, as an adult, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son. And so she was baptized once in the name of Jesus, once in the name of the Father, once in the name of the Son, and once in the name of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, she goes on to say, in all of those so-called correct ways to be baptized according to the offered different church doctrines. Well, you got to stay away from, they're not church doctrines, they're Bible doctrines. The churches have the traditions, but dogma, the Bible has dogma.
Call it, right? Church
right.
Dogma.
Well, the Roman Catholic Church has the dogma.
Dogma, yeah.
Yeah. I humble myself to you and ask you to please prove to me that I am wrong on my thinking and or theology according to your beliefs based on the Holy Word of God. Please, this is my challenge to you, sir, respectfully. Please read thoroughly through the chance. Well, she sent me some things, and I did start to read, but I never really had a chance. And this lady's name is Deborah, And so thank you for your precious time and help me to understand what scriptural basis you have for believing this erroneous doctrine of once saved, always saved. Well, the Bible is very, very clear. When I do this, the next time I preach on this, you keep listening, Deborah, I will give you a lot. I will give you nothing but a lot of scripture on the doctrine of eternal security and once saved, always saved. I mean, boy, I'm going to tell you, there's as much biblical doctrine on that as there's just about any other one of the doctrines in the Bible. And so now here's a problem, okay? For example, she says, with evidence of speaking in tongues. Joe, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, okay, and start there with, I believe, let me see if I remember right, it would be probably verse, start with verse 26 and read me through verse 35.
All right. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace.
Okay, now stop there for a minute, Joe. Sure. I want you to notice something, okay? He says, if any man, M-A-N, man, speak in an unknown tongue, okay, then he says, but if there be no interpreter, let him, and keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another, but the sitteth, let him first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and that all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now you notice something. He, him, and his. He, him, and
right.
his. Did you notice
no
that?
No him, no she,
you
no
know.
They. Yeah.
Well, the next verse tells you, Joe, the only people, okay, the Bible specifically says, are not to speak in tongues. Well, let me read it. Let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What, come the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? So then he says, if any man think himself, again, to be a prophet or spiritual, so he's making it very, very clear about here the manner of speaking in tongues. So now, here when you talk about tongues, people have the total wrong idea. When every time the Bible speaking in tongues, we're talking about it in the Bible. It wasn't not some googly gook. It wasn't some what you have today by the Word of Faith movement where they just talk like baby talk, okay? The Bible was very clear. The tongues were always known dialects. There's no place in the Scripture where it wasn't a known dialect, a known language. The idea, the miracle of the tongues were that someone, say, that was could only speak Polish could hear someone speaking in German and understand exactly what they're saying, or someone who only spoke English could hear someone speaking in Japanese and understand what they were saying. That was the miracle there when in Acts 2, when everyone says, how could this be? They're speaking in my language. How could they do that? Well, all of the 15 known dialects for 15 different regions all heard the prophecy in their own language, and that was the miracle there. But again, here, so again, the only people that are specifically are told not to speak in tongues are ladies. Now, also very quickly, because we're coming up to a break, the Bible makes it very clear that when we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, okay, that is the Trinity. That's the Trinity. We don't pray to each one differently. We pray in the name of the Father. When you're talking about baptism, you talk about the name, and this is what she's referring to. You pray to the Father in the name, or you pray in the name of the, or you baptize, rather, I'm sorry, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not three separate baptisms, one baptism, okay? One, there's one God, and that one God has three persons in it, three personalities. We'll be right back after this.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
All right, you bet. I'm going to tell you, you know heaven's under siege. Look at our government. Now, I want to tell you about the folks, Jake Lang, received a letter from Rachel, his fiance, and she says, Pastor Ernie, she says, Jake is sadly still in solitary confinement. Jake is one of the J6ers, January 6ers, political prisoners who's been in prison over 3 years, and he hasn't had a hearing. He hasn't had a trial yet. Okay. So Jake is sadly still in solitary confinement. He broke his hunger strike after 12 days when he heard about the Supreme Court throwing out the 1512 charge. So thank you so much for the prayers for him, okay, folks. And so, folks out there, keep Jake Lang in prayer and all of the those. He was on this radio program. He managed to find a way to call into us live, but they found out, and now they threw him in solitary confinement. He's been there for a long time. And so this guy's a political prisoner. The only thing he did was help to save, tried to save those people that were being beaten to death by very, very dirty, by very dirty D.C. cops. You know, that's the reality. That's what he did. That's why he's in prison. And so keep him in prayer, if you will. Also,
He was willing to speak out on why he was trying to save those people from the dirty cops. It was also the fact that he brought it to the world's attention.
Absolutely. It was here. She was Roseanne Boylan was beaten to death. She was beaten to death.
Beaten to death. Yes.
And Ashley Babbitt was murdered by a dirty cop, a dirty bird. Okay, that was his name, Bird. By a dirty bird, a crooked cop, cowardly cop. And so, anyhow, that's to keep him in prayer, folks. Keep him in prayer. All of the J6ers, keep them all in prayer. All right, and then that corrupt, that's so corrupt, the completely and totally corrupt Department of Justice and FBI, completely and totally corrupted it is. You know, they've arrested grandmas who are not in good shape. 72-year-old lady, thrown her in prison while she was praying out there. Corrupt, completely corrupt. Okay.
Well, look, what isn't corrupt? There's a big article by Bob Unruh in World News Daily. DementiaGate. Massive cover-up of Biden health and works for years. And it's quite a long article, but he goes back and talks about these gaffes and things that were made years and years ago. He's always been wicked. He's always been evil. He's always been a crook. But he's shown signs of mental problems for a long, long time. And he's made confusions that are extreme, and yet so the media has been complicit in hiding this. The government, the Department of Justice, we have the FBI, I mean all the different aspects of government that look into things have been aware of the problem, and I'm sure that the people in the Joint Chiefs of Staff have noticed their commander-in-chief has had problems. So what we have is a world of people who are willing to deny what they see, willing to lie by either commission or omission about the state of health of our president, the leader of the free world. And they also know about his corruption, his family's business, and they've hid that. So what do we have? We have a whole world of people who lie and cannot be trusted. And that leaves very few people out there that we can trust what they say. And the field is narrowing every day, the number of people we can listen to that we can trust. And that is what the big shame in America is, that we're a nation of liars and to a large extent, there's a nation of fools who listen to these liars.
Well, reality is this, Jim.
Do you think that's an overstatement?
Well, no. Here's reality, okay? Because man and their natural being, the Bible makes it very clear. The only people you can actually trust is God himself, because all of us, every single person you know, will at one time or another let you down.
Okay? We'll all fall short, but there are a lot of people out there who, for the most part, tell the truth, fight for God, family, country, fight for the rule of law in our constitutional republic. There are warriors out there who, for the most part, I listen to, you listen to, and like I said, no one's perfect, but there's some people with some pretty good records, right?
Well, yeah, and what I'm telling you is that there are times that come, you know, how often you have people say, well, you know, if I was there, I would have done this. If I was there, I would have done that. And you really don't know until it happens how you're going to react to certain things. And like I said, when it comes to everybody, even let their own selves down. Sometimes, you know, we will let our own selves down. We have expectations and of doing things, that we make promises that we can't always keep. Only God can keep his promises.
True,
you know?
Very true. But you know, I look to you, you have been through many things over the past 50 years, and you have been consistent. You've handled things in the same way. You've run to the battle. You've charged. You've gone ahead. You've stuck to Scripture. There are examples of people. Yes, you and I have both failed, especially, you know, we make standards for ourselves, and we probably see more failures in ourselves than others have ever seen in us. But still, you look at overall track record, you've got a pretty good lifetime track record of sticking to the Word and going out there and fighting the good fight of faith.
Well, that's true. You and I both do, but the thing of it is you and I have not had it as bad or been tested like so many people that have been thrown into the North Korean prisons and tortured.
Nothing like that yet. No.
Right. So we haven't had to go through any of that thing and those. So we don't know what would happen, how much you can take when you get tested out there today. You always think, well, I know I won't break, but we need to thank God, because it's by his grace and not by our merit, by God's grace and not by our merit, huh?
Well, every time we have failed, what do? We repent and turn to the Lord for forgiveness and try and get back on the right track.
Absolutely. I'm going to shift gears here. Debbie Kidd, you know Debbie, she...
Debbie Kidd, D-V-I, isn't it? Debbie?
Yeah, D-V-V. No, it's D-E-V-V-Y, D-E-V-V-Y. That's an unusual name. She's the only one I know by that name, Debbie, okay?
True.
But I got to think, Joe, that her picture that she puts in her newsletter might be a few years old. I'm not going to say. Huh?
I saw that picture many years ago, so I know it can't be current.
Yeah, but she was very, very pretty, okay?
Yep.
And she probably still is very pretty today. But anyhow, she really goes after Kamala Harris. You know, she says that Kamala Harris' delegation, her delegates say that they will blow up the entire Democratic Communist Party if they try to put Newsom in there. They're going to blow up the entire Democratic Communist Party. But, boy, wouldn't that be a shame? But anyhow,
No comment.
here's the thing. I've said this several times now. I've been watching Hillary watch. Hillary has been, sneaking around, slithering here and there, keeping a low profile and going to her connections, the power base, okay? Remember when Biden was talking about the media, the elite, what he was talking about, the elite in the party are turning against him. He knows where it's coming from. Well, there's where Hillary's been going to, all of the big money people. And I wouldn't be surprised if Hillary is putting together a coup. That's possible. Meanwhile, here there's been a number, and I had to. Debbie here, she mentions the the other woman, the one I'm trying to think of her name, the one that had the was on Fox News, and now she's been on, had her own programs for a long time. Real outspoken.
Oh, but she, blonde.
Yeah.
Most
of them were blonde.
I can see her face, but I can't tell you her name. She's got
Kelly. Kelly was Kelly.
Kelly. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the first name? But anyhow, she really went after Jill Biden, and here Debbie, and they're talking about how she wants the power base. She's abusing old Joe. She's keeping old Joe out there, making him run again because she wants to continue. They have pictures of her in the Oval Office sitting at the presidential desk. She's there, and then she's also talking about she doesn't want to give up Air Force One, the international travel, and so her and Hunter, and Hunter is coming in, and this is why they're making old Joe, they're keeping old Joe out there. Now, Joe is an evil man. Joe Biden is a very, very, very corrupt individual, and he's a very evil man. But I think Donald Trump would be much better off if they kept him in there until the November election, because if they do Article 25 on him, what will happen was, if they use the 25th Amendment, Kamala gets into office, and that woman is a loose cannon. They can't control her. Joe's got his handlers. They're controlling him. But Kamala, she's a loose cannon. We don't know what she's liable to do, okay?
Well, plus the attention, if they do the 25th Amendment, it's going to come out that people have known for a long time that he's had some kind of problem, Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever it is, Parkinson's, whatever the actual diagnosis. If they pull something like that, that's going to bring this big attention. The people are going to realize more and more that they've been lied to by government, by the media, by the Democrat Party. So they don't want to go there for that reason. And they've been, told by the black women that, if you don't go with Kamala, our first black female president, we're going to destroy the party. So when Biden says no, he's not going to, resign or quit, they don't know what to do because every option they have would cause them more trouble than they could gain. Remember, the only thing they care about is power. And if they think there's a chance that they can keep Biden in until election, they don't care what happens after the election, whether it's Kamala, anybody, as long as there's a Democrat in that office, they can retain power one way or the other, and I think that's all that matters.
Well, the power struggle is going on. I'm hoping that those that want to keep Biden in there for now win that one. But the power elites, all the chatter has it said that the elites, the money boys, the big money boys, have already decided that Joe's got to go. They've already decided one way or the other he's got to go. Okay.
There's the conflict. If the money stops coming in, then the party's going to have to go, well, we went along with Biden, but now what do we do? It's going to be very interesting. I have a feeling nobody really knows for sure what's going to happen. They're all kind of waiting to see, can Biden put on a good show over the next couple weeks before the convention, or will he do something that, like in the debate, where it's totally obvious to the world? I think there's a lot of people holding their breath right now, waiting to see the next few weeks what's going to happen.
Well, I think Hillary is slithering around trying to put together a coup so that when it comes to the convention, they nominate her.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, she has, like Biden, lusted most of her life to be president. That's the thing that the two of them have in common. For the past how many years they wanted that power, they wanted that office.
And remember too, if under the rules of the collective, if Hillary can take Joe down, But in this case, it wouldn't really be that way because it wouldn't be just Hillary. It would be the entire communist collective.
Yeah, they'd have to have a large group do it.
Yeah, but because here, you know, under the collective rules, if you can take down someone with power and standing, if you can betray them, remember, to us, betrayal is a negative thing. Betrayal is repulsive. To them, it's not. Remember the words of Joseph Stalin. I'll repeat that because it happens all the time in the Democratic Communist Collective. And Stalin said, "If to rest your head on the friend on the breast of a friend to gain his complete control, gain his complete trust, then to thrust a knife in his back, there's nothing sweeter." That is the mindset of many of those that we've seen that taking place within the collective. And so, now here, what you were talking about, regime media realizes it's been lying this whole time. So here, the Daily Caller says, listen, this Gage Clipper, those in the fake news media, what they call the mainstream media, are waking up and they're realizing we've been telling a lie. You know, listen, these people are professional liars.
And they'll fall back on their sword and they'll go back to lying.
Right. And they do exactly where they'll say exactly what they're told to say. They'll turn on the echo chamber and you can switch the station to NBC, ABC, CBS, and they'll all be saying the same thing word for word, won't they?
They've done it before. They'll do it again. You want to know how something's going to work out, you go back in the past and you look for patterns. That's a pattern that's been ongoing for as long as I can remember, and that's been a lot of years. They do the same thing. They stick to the program. They stick to the game, the play, and it's been successful, and so they'll stick with it.
And they're still blaming us for their saying, another day, another right-wing media disinformation campaign. Guess what?
Yep, who are you going to believe?
Proven true.
Lion eyes, right?
Yeah, by now it's no surprise that the self-appointed arbiters of the truth in the corporate media frequently arrive late to the story, often by years. School closures, masks, and vaccines were critically necessary for years, the media maintained, until they weren't. Lockdowns worked, the media assured us, until they didn't. Hunter's laptop was disinformation until it wasn't. And now the media has finally realized what Americans have known all along. President Joe Biden is physically and mentally unfit to serve another 4 years as president. There's a common strain in each story. While the corporate press worked to ignore these stories or regulate them to the machinations of the censorship regime, independent media had got them right each time from the very start. That's right. We called it right from the beginning. But anyhow.
I think the media had a wake-up call, but now that the leaders say we're going to back Biden for a while, the media is going to fall in line. And, you know, they'll quit commenting on the story. They'll quit talking about it. They'll do the same thing they do on a lot of things. Act like it never happens. Once it's quiet, you know, they'll continue, because one of the things they're trying to hide right now is what's Biden doing, was he doing today, this week, I think it was today, speaking at NATO. And here we have, they've just done something, they are trying to bring Ukraine into NATO. Now, Pastor Ernie, you and I remember that was the thing that bothered the Russians. Putin came out and said it was the threat of Ukraine joining NATO that led him to go to war. Right? Do I have that right? That's what I remember.
Yeah. I mean, we have the enemies within our gates now here. But remember, up until the communists, until the Democrats turned totally communist, we wouldn't want any communist countries on our border, right?
Right. So now we have this NATO meeting, and of course they're watching NATO, but who's been lobbying there? The military contractors, the military industrial complex has been the leaders of both parties to what? Expand NATO's footprint around the world. Why? They're funneling millions, tens of millions of dollars in cash to congressional candidates, senators, who are willing to sell their vote. Why? Because, you know, the idea of Trump taking the White House, these NATO globalists want to lock our U.S. into a joint pledge. They're talking about at least $43 billion in new military support for Ukraine for the next year, which, you know, going to be funded by you and I, the American taxpayers, are going to rob us to pay this. And this month, Biden and European countries are sending dozens of what? Very expensive F-16 fighters to Ukraine. All right, here's the problem. These F-16 fighters can strike Russian cities and attack with deadly missiles, okay? So every time Ukraine uses an American weapon to strike a target where? In Russia, not just in Ukraine, it puts us in a position of possible retaliation by Russia. Russia can retaliate. It has vowed to retaliate against the U.S. for attacks with our weapons. Biden is, and these people are putting Americans at risk this way. And what was it last month? Remember, Biden announced this 10-year military commitment to Ukraine. He's trying to make it force so when Trump gets in, he can't, you know, his hands are going to be tied. And it's the idea that Democrats in Congress, if Trump violates this military commitment, then what? Maybe there's a reason for them to try and impeach Trump because he's going to repudiate on this agreement that was made. So here we have the military-industrial complex wanting, you know, paying off people all over the world, not just America, but the other NATO establishments. Those at the summit, I've heard in several articles, want to establish a command center for NATO at one of our U.S. bases in Germany, Wiesbaden, and along with some other hubs there in the Eastern Union to compel greater participation and this, you know, battle against Russia, show stronger, larger show of force against Russia. And what I'm seeing is we have a nation that's not aware at all that we're being drawn further and further into this war with all the new advanced weapons, with all the talk of bringing Ukraine and somebody else into NATO. And I'm seeing the situation looking more and more like we could get into a World War III. Remember, Moscow is, what, less than 500 miles from the border of Ukraine? And I looked it up. That's within the range of a missile launch by a American F-16 fighter. To me, this is not good news. This is kind of bad news. Some pilot, all they have to do is pick a target near Moscow, some Ukrainian pilot that's mad that lost a brother, son, wife to an explosion, decides to fire at Moscow, and I don't know. They're delivering 24 F-16s, and it's only about $1 billion worth of armament. And then there's also about, these are expensive planes, and if Russia shoots a bunch of them down, I don't see a good outcome to what's going on with this summit in NATO right now. I see something to be very, very concerned about.
I hear you. We're coming up to a break. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to be telling you, letting you hear a clip, a pilot. He's a whistleblower. He's speaking out against what Bill Gates has been spraying with these chemtrails, the mRNA, and the idea is to get it in the food, to get it on your crops, to get it in the animal feed, to get it in the animals, and to get it into you. That's what they're doing. These people never stop.
No, they don't. They just keep coming up with something weird.
Yeah. They just never stop in here. So, anyhow, we're coming up to the break, and we will be back after the break. And so, meanwhile, we got a countdown. 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.